Pensacola's first choice for morning news, traffic, sports, and talk. The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Good morning, Pensacola.
Morning, 809 News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola Morning News, and because there was a city council meeting last night in the city of Gulf Breeze, we always like to have Sam Abel, the city manager, on to give us a bit of a recap. Sam, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. So you had a lot of stuff on the agenda last night, including what? You had a question about whether to offer incentives for a developer to come in for a building that's kind of in need of being renovated or demolished or something?
That's right, Andrew. That's right. So as we've talked about before, we just completed as part of our strategic planning effort a citizen survey where our citizens related to economic development overwhelmingly said that they wanted to focus on redeveloping our blighted shopping centers, that they did not support new growth. That's no surprise for a peninsula city that grapples with heavy traffic in ordinary times. And so, you know, we have buildings that, because of their age and their condition, make it cost prohibitive to redevelop. And last night, the focus was on a building that certainly is one of those that that is the most expensive. It has sat empty for over 10 years. The city, myself, Mayor Fitch, and others have been working to try to recruit one of our targeted industries, and that being medical or technology. We always try to focus on those high-wage jobs, and we have been unsuccessful at doing that. And so we looked to retail. We had a local Pensacolian redeveloper.
Sam, what's the location? What building are we talking about?
Yep. I should have started with that, Andrew. This is the intersection of Daniel and Highway 98. It is right across the street from our high school on Daniel.
So okay, is it where the subway is at, or like right in that building?
Yes. It's the building that houses the subway.
Okay.
So originally it was an Eckerd. It's a big box with very little parking.
Right. And so what are you looking to do with that building? I mean, it's obviously a prominent location. To sit vacant for all that time is a problem. What's going on there?
Yeah. So the history of the building is that it, of course, after it was originally an Eckerd, it was it purchased and really was to hold that corner and keep it from redeveloping into a competitor with CVS. So it has the rent has been paid to the owner in New Jersey, but it intentionally has been kept vacant. And that means that it's been stripped in the inside. There's no AC. And it's just continued to be a code enforcement issue due to vegetation, overgrowth. There's a large, unsightly stormwater pond right on Highway 98 on that property. And so, as I said, Mayor Fitch and myself have been looking to try to recruit medical or technology there. But the cost of redevelopment is so prohibitive. The property actually appraises at $1.2 million. But if a bank's independent appraiser comes and look at it, they say this thing is not worth a pig and a poke. So they're not interested. So it's been very difficult. But we have a redeveloper who actually has the property under contract. And the redeveloper, SL&D, has two options. One, he can put some paint on the building and renovate it very modestly, so that the modification is less than 50% of the value of the building. That means that it won't trigger most of our redevelopment standards.
Okay.
And he'll put in a tenant that is, you know, not going to be a Class A tenant. Or he can demolish that building, and there's enough space to develop two fast casual restaurants. So we talked about what fast casual is and the difference between fast casual and fast food. A fast casual is something similar to a Panera, which does really well across Highway 98 at that same intersection. So, wanting to keep the confidentiality of his tenants, we described what fast casual is. It would be defined in the development agreement. And the redeveloper said, look, if I can't entice that type of tenant here, then there will be no reimbursement from the city. But if I do, what we're looking for is reimbursement using community redevelopment dollars. By state law, they're used specifically for this purpose. Within our CRA district, 80% of those funds come from Santa Rosa County. And so it's a great leverage of our local dollars as well. But time is a thing, Andrew. And so even though, you know, partnerships like this can take many, many months, last night, some of our council talked about that our local businesses are hurting. Is this really the time to be incentivizing redevelopment? And so city staff pointed out that we have been supporting our local businesses and that we will continue to do so as a simultaneous effort. And we welcome any further ideas, you know, from our city council.
Well, and as I understand it, you correct me if I'm wrong, okay, and I may often be, but I mean, CRA dollars have specific uses. And so if it's CRA dollars, it's not like you could have just handed that out to local businesses anyway. And if you're talking about a business that's not going to be completed until after, fingers crossed, the bridge is reopened, you're not worried about that kind of problem anyway. Am I missing something here?
Well, the redeveloper brought that point up and explained, you know, the timeline for the project and the fact that the economic incentive is reimbursement based. So he said, by the time my project is done,
right,
and the doors would be open, it would be late 2022. So yes, you're right on. As it relates to the use of CRA dollars can be used as a, you know, facade improvement grant, mm-hmm, for, you know, our local businesses and to help advertise and market them. And that's certainly programs that the city of Gulf Breeze already has. And so, you know, with the bridge being out, we've been promoting our businesses very heavily. The council had approved a facade improvement program this year. So those are also options. It is certainly not an either or.
So where did the council land last night? We still haven't made a decision is what it sounds like. Is that right?
Well, what they ended up doing is they tabled it until the next meeting.
Okay.
There was just strong feelings on both sides, and I think it's just indicative of a city that is hurting right now, mm-hmm, and wants to make sure that it's putting first things first. So a lot of conversation last night about that item. Ultimately, they tabled it. And what, you know, staff acknowledged and myself is that this may not be our, and I fully acknowledge it is not our ideal, technology or medical facility at this corner. But unfortunately, the market just dictates that's not going to happen because of the very prohibitive reconstruction,
dollars
going to have to be spent.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's interesting. So obviously we'll look for a future possibility, but when you talk about that kind of an expansion at that corner to replace something that's been sitting there not useful for 10 years, I can see the appeal of it. Well, I know you guys did lots of stuff last night, but we're totally out of time. So very interesting. Sam Abel's the city manager for the city of Gulf Breeze. Sam, thanks so much for joining us this morning, as always.
Sure. Absolutely, Andrew.
All right. Traffic now with Davis Allen.
As we're traveling southbound on Garcon Point Bridge, I am noticing delays. Right as you're getting onto the bridge, it's going to be slow moving until you get into Gulf Breeze. And northbound, also looking a little slow moving until you get onto Avalon. No delays to report from the intersection of Avalon and Garcon Point Road. And the rest of northbound and southbound Avalon all checking in clear. If you're traveling along I-10 and I-110 this morning, it's flowing smoothly. But I am noticing some activity on Burgess Road affecting east and westbound traffic. This is likely stemming from traffic getting to West Florida High School, but this is in between Oakfield Road and all the way really to Highway 29 is where I'm noticing these delays. So, and also we're seeing some northbound delays on North Palafox Street at the intersection of Burgess Road. So likely some school activity there. If you notice anything else out on the roadways, do feel free to call me at 262-6111. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the 5s.
So a couple of years ago, we went to Frontier Motors, and we wound up buying a Honda Odyssey, a van that we love, okay? We had great service when we bought it and loved it. But then kind of something that really, like, fits my parameters for why I like a business is I like a business that under-promises and over-delivers, you know, so they do good stuff for you after the fact that you don't expect, you know, better than you anticipated and they promised. And that was my experience at Frontier. 6 months after we bought the vehicle, I got a call from our sales guy, Calvin. He's like, how's the van going? I'm like, well, I mean, it's fine. All right, thanks. You know, that was it. And then a year after we bought it, Calvin calls me again and says, how's the van doing? I'm like, well, everything's good. One problem is that one of the physical keys doesn't work. Like, the fob works fine. We're never going to have to use this physical key unless, I mean, something catastrophic happens. He's like, oh, we'll bring it in. We'll replace it. I'm like, yeah, how much? He's like, oh, no, on us. A year after we bought the car? Yeah. So I brought it in. They replaced it. No problem. No questions. 5 minutes. It was easy. And like, see, that's the kind of service that I love to see. That's over-delivering and under-promising. Just fantastic. This is why when I say Frontier Motors is serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, that's what I'm talking about. Right behind that big buffalo on Beverly Parkway, be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Good morning. All that stuff about last week, I was just kidding. That was just April Fool's. Yeah. Just teasing. I didn't even think about last week being April Fool's, so I had a number of people come to me afterwards and say, is that what you were doing? And I was like, no, I'm not that creative to think about that.
The mayor yesterday, Mayor Grover Robinson, talking about the, him deciding not to run again. And then, of course, there was this question of the timing coincidence with all of the allegations against Matt and now Matt Gaetz. And now there was a poll that came out yesterday, I guess a phone poll asking people who they wanted to vote for Congressional District 1. It's a little premature for that. So whoever's running that poll, you kind of got to wonder, you know, wow, talk about the opportunist jumping in. But just when you thought it was just going to be a regular old press conference, things got a little, let's just say, different.
Although I did have a dream this morning. I was having to wait. I was waiting for Don Parker to call me, and I had to call Cat Country to tell Candy, so much we appreciate her, and I'm sorry she was going to be leaving, but I had this dream that Andrew McKay was running for mayor, and somehow in between the dream, by the end of it, he had actually won mayor. So, Andrew, congratulations. I will have my wife talk to your wife. I'm not sure that's the best career move for you, but anyways, I did have a dream that you were...
In the fictional dream mayor category, I'm 1-0.
You did win. Now, you didn't get to take office yet, but I don't know how that goes. I might have to wait another day for that. But I did want to at least congratulate you.
I don't live in the city. I'm not running. What are you talking about? I go home. I tell my wife, I'm like, so the mayor had a dream about me. She's like, do tell. I said, I don't know if he's much of a modern day gifts of the spirit guy, but, you know, was it prophetic? No. So later on in the conversation, somebody asked him whether he wanted to run for Congress, which I know the answer is no. But here's what he said.
The interesting part is my children, who couldn't wait for me to get out of local government fast enough, have actually said they both want me to run for Congress. But I'm not sure that's going to be enough to sway my wife and I in there, and again, it's one of those things that it's come up before, and it just hadn't been what I wanted to do.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't want national politics. He's said that. He hates the tone. He's not interested in those issues besides.
I feel very, very passionate about local politics and what happens here locally in Pensacola and Escambia County in Northwest Florida. I feel like I've made a difference in those areas, and those are the areas where I really wanted to participate. And at this particular time, once I get to 16 years, that's going to feel like enough. So it's time for me to move aside and let Andrew come in and do what he needs to do.
Nice callback. No. 8:24, Mark Jacobs in the newsroom with our headlines. Mark, you're going to have to break somebody new in because apparently I'm going to be the mayor.
Well, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Go on. What's going on in the newsroom?
Looks like President Biden setting a new goal in the fight against coronavirus as he prepares to visit a vaccination site today. CNN says he'll move his deadline for adults to get a shot up to April 19th. Means all states have to open their eligibility 2 weeks earlier than previously planned. Jurors in the Derek Chauvin murder trial back in court this morning for day 7. Yesterday, they heard from the top cop in Minneapolis who said the former officer absolutely violated policy. March Madness over. Baylor celebrating its first men's college basketball championship. The Bears running the table as they ended Gonzaga's perfect season with an 86-70 win. tournament's most outstanding player, Jared Butler, on ABC's Good Morning America.
This has been phenomenal. I haven't been asleep yet. You know, I still got the hat on, just, you know, enjoying the moment.
Baylor's coach Scott Drew says after the game, the better the opponent, the better they play.
I had seen none of Baylor's games, except on fast forward, because they were all blowouts. Mm-hmm. And so I was going into this expecting Gonzaga, and then I watched. Oh, it was not even close. I mean, it was a beatdown for sure. All right, Mark, thanks so much for the update. Davis Allen now, time for traffic on the fives.
And going back to Garcon Point Bridge, still seeing delays going southbound. In fact, once you get onto the bridge, it's going to be a little slow moving, getting into Gulf Breeze, while northbound appears to be moving at a more consistent pace. And as a matter of fact, once you get through the Garcon Point Road light over at that intersection and get around Mary Kitchens Road, you're going to be met with some minor delays on your way over to I-10. Nothing that's too significant. I am seeing some minor delays on Highway 90 westbound as you're heading into downtown Milton. This is in the East Milton area near Ward Basin Road. Also, I mentioned this earlier, but it's just still present, that if you're going to Burgess Road for any reason, whether it be to West Florida High School or just commuting on through, it is delayed east and westbound. Eastbound delayed all the way back to Highway 29. Westbound delayed back up to Oakfield Road. Just keep that in mind this morning. And this report is brought to you by Central Credit Union. Hit the open road or the open waters with the RV or boat of your dreams. Rates as low as 3.5% APR. You can apply at ccufl.org. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
Start your educational journey today and join the 95% of all PSC students who graduate debt-free.
I hate to be the guy that says maybe FDOT got it right. And I don't know yet, okay, because the evening has been the catastrophe. But this morning, Davis, would you agree with me that the traffic on Avalon seems to be good this morning? Is that fair compared to normal?
I think so.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's because of the light. I mean, it's hard to see how that light would regulate much in the morning. It's the evening when you've got people going up 10 and come back down Garcon Point. That's when that would start to regulate. And last night it was a catastrophe. So I guess we'll have to wait and see how it works for the afternoon. I was not a believer. I'm still not, but, you know, I'm always willing to be persuaded by the evidence. You should be, too. 829 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Oh, this is kind of cool. This is just a little thing, but it caught my attention the other day, and I didn't get a chance to share it with you. There's a company that I guess it's developed by some college kids or something like that, where they basically came out with a sunscreen dot. It's like a little, I don't know, half inch circle, and what you do is you put it on your arm or your leg, you rub sunscreen on you, it starts off purple and it turns clear when it's got sun protection on it. As the sunscreen wears away over time, then the sun starts to damage your skin and also the little dot, and the dot turns purple again. So you put sunscreen back on and it turns clear again, up to 6 times. So you know when to reapply. They say it's waterproof and sweatproof and all this kind of stuff. It's a little expensive. I think it's $8 for a 6-pack of these stickers. But that's not really that expensive, given your skin and cancer and everything else and the sunburn.
Andrew, if you look at me, I could have used one of those over the weekend, so I will spend $8 on those.
My problem with this is I'm the one who, like, it's not a question of overall application. It's the 8 spots I always miss. That's always the issue.
Your money now. The stock market's open. The Dow is down 63 points at 33,463. The NASDAQ is down 19 at 13,686, while the S&P is off about 6 points at 4,071. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen pushing for a minimum tax on multinational corporations to level the playing field on a global scale. During her first major speech, Yellen says the global tax will make sure the global economy spurs innovation, growth, and prosperity. Consumer inflation expectations for March due out this morning. Analysts expect the number to rise slightly, forecasting inflation expectations coming in at 3.1%. The Supreme Court gives Google a big win in its dispute with Oracle. The case involved a copyright dispute over software in the Android mobile operating system. Oracle had sued Google over thousands of lines of code that Google used to construct Android. Our next news at 9 with breaking news anytime. I'm Mark Jacobs.
Kung Fu Fighting! I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm gonna have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot.
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
So every day at about this time, we have a discussion about things that are frivolous, ridiculous, silly. Water cooler talk, you know, ask your kids these questions, ask your friends these questions. A great way for you to distract yourself a little bit from all the stuff that's going on. There's always a lot of stuff going on. Story out of the news, an auction house in Dallas sold a video game on Friday, an unopened mint copy of the original Nintendo Super Mario Brothers. 1986, bought, thrown in a desk drawer, in the plastic, in the box, perfect condition, $660,000. Completely forgotten for 35 years. Is that math right? 21? Yeah, 35 years. So pretty good, you know, pretty good. So not bad. So my question is for you, 437-1620. What's your example? Like, what's your, man, if only I'd have kept that blank story. Thanks. You know, this could be a stock, you know, this could be a, man, I had 3 Bitcoin 5 years ago. I don't know. It could be anything. What's your, man, if only I'd have kept that? 437-1620, 437-1620. Davis, now you're still young.
Yeah.
You're not really old enough to have made these kind of mistakes too much yet. You know, and you haven't, your parents probably still have all your stuff. You know, you still have the two houses, like you where you live and then your parents still have your stuff kind of thing.
Yeah. From okay. When I was a child. Yeah.
So mom hasn't thrown out the bad thing yet.
No. And my mom definitely has things when I was a child that she knows that she never wants to get rid of.
Okay. So do you have a thing that, I wish I'd have kept that?
I had to think about it, and I do. I will share one quick story. My grandmother threw away my dad's Mickey Mantle baseball cards.
Oh.
So there you go. I had a stroke for him.
Yeah, no kidding.
But no, for me, I used to have a Nintendo 64, and I just sort of like stopped caring about it.
Yeah.
And then one day we were moving from Tampa to here. It just sort of got lost in the whole move. And so to this day, it's gone forever. I don't think I'm ever going to stumble across it. But a Nintendo 64 today in good condition is probably worth a good amount of money, and especially the games. Like
games would be valuable.
There are certain Nintendo 64 games, if you tried to buy it today,
like a Tetris
really
or something like that. Yeah,
expensive.
Yeah, absolutely.
So for me, I think that has to be it.
All right, 841 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. What's your, man, I wish I'd have kept that story? 437-1620. Somebody here says, oh, this is hard. This is hard to say on the air. First edition for the Conan comic books. Yeah, Conan the Barbarian, I assume they're talking about there. Yeah, comic books are one of those. And what's funny is, for a lot of folks, it's stuff that, of course, you didn't realize was collectible until years later, which is the point, right? And then once it became collectible, you know, then everybody was collecting them, and they were publishing a lot more. Comic books are a great example of this. The early comic books, everybody just threw them out. Nobody thought anything about it. And then, eventually, people started keeping them because they realized they were valuable, and they started publishing more. So when people were actually buying them to collect them, like in the 80s, you know, there were millions and millions of copies, and who cares? They're not really valuable. 437-1620, same thing with stamps, right? You know, it's the ones that nobody even thought anything about, and then all of a sudden, like in the 30s and 40s, more like maybe the 40s and 50s, everybody was keeping them. Well, they weren't worth anything. You know, they're basically worth postage now. Lynn at 437-1620. Lynn, you had a, man, I wish I would have kept that moment or thing?
Yes, I had a 1963 356 C Coupe Porsche with a signed Nardi steering wheel, and I've heard that a car like that now just sold for $275,000. And I sold mine. I lived in California, and I sold mine for $3,400, and got at the airport in California and flew home to Pensacola.
Oh my goodness. Wow. I have one that'll make you.
And I'm in my mid 70s now, and that little egg going along the highway would be cute, wouldn't it?
That would be adorable. I just yesterday read a story about the military. I think it must have been in Baghdad. They blew up Uday Hussein's SUV, old and beat up SUV. Turns out it was a one of 300 Lamborghini that was one of the tests that when they were trying to make the Hummer back in the day, that's worth like that same vicinity now. And they didn't even know about it. So everybody does their thing. Lynn, thanks so much for the call. I appreciate it. 437-1620, 437-1620. Somebody here says, man, I should save that one for our last one. It's too good. I'll save that for, trust me, this is worth it. Give me 2 minutes. I'll tell you the one that I'm looking at right now. Somebody says, while moving out for the first time into my apartment, I accidentally threw away all of my Barbies. Most were in mint condition. One was still in the box this day. Sick to my stomach. Oh, and that's true. It's painful. And what happens, too, is if you're kind of a hoarder, and I definitely am, then you remember vividly the things you got rid of that you wanted or could have sold for more. And then, you know, so you never get rid of anything because you know that pain more than anything else. Somebody at 437-1620, what's the, I wish I would have kept it or I can't believe I threw that thing out. My 1973 Datsun 240Z. But I still have my autographed Mickey Mantle baseball card. Oh, good for you. Halfway there. Matchbox cars and Hot Wheels from the 60s and 70s. Yeah, especially if they're in good condition. Somebody says, my wife left the card collection in the trunk after a wreck, and it's gone forever. Oh, but at least, you know, hopefully the person was okay. You know, so, you know, trade off there. 437-1620, 437-1620. Yeah, I don't really, see, like I said, my family's kind of hoarders, and so, which is a good clash with my wife, who's a discarder. You know, she gets joy out of not taking things on a trip and getting rid of things in the house, okay, which is like anathema to me, but so we always have fights about this kind of stuff, but so my family doesn't really get rid of stuff typically, so I don't have a lot of these stories. On the other hand, I have a lot of the why did I keep that. I have a lot of why did I keep that. It's a lot of stuff in my closet that doesn't make any sense to have kept all this time. Get rid of it, dear. Shut up, leave me alone. I'm not trying to hear that right now. So Matt Davis, you're gonna jump in there or something?
I would say the one thing, or a few things, but I do have one thing in my bedroom at my parents' house that I know for a fact I won't give away. And when I was a kid, I super infatuated with Thomas the Tank Engine. And so I have like all of my original Thomas the Tank Engine trains from like the mid 90s that are still in decent shape, and they're made out of wood, they're handcrafted, all that good stuff. And I just feel like in the future those might be worth a lot of money, but I'm not going to get rid of them.
So this is a really good thing to not tell anybody for about 15 years. Because for the next 15 years, that's going to seem a little weird. But when you get into like your 40s, all of a sudden it starts to be okay again. Because then you're just an older guy collecting old train toys. Yeah, that's fine. Oh, this is this is my favorite. So what's that thing you can't believe you got rid of, or the man I should have kept that? Somebody texted in, my ex-wife, she cost me a fortune. What's that old line from the Titus TV show? It's my favorite Stacey Keach line. He says, you know, Tommy, why do divorces cost so much? Because they're worth it. No, I don't endorse divorce. I actually think you ought to stay married, but it's still kind of funny. 8:46 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Davis Allen, time for traffic on the fives.
All right, so we have an accident. It looks like it's on Airport Boulevard, and this is affecting southbound traffic as well as westbound traffic and even a little bit of northbound traffic. So really, it's just at the intersection where I'm noticing this accident. Again, this is at the intersection of Airport and Davis where this accident has taken place, and all directions are delayed as a result of this accident. So use caution when you are over there. If you're traveling westbound on Gulf Breeze Parkway, it is delayed back around the Animal Hospital of Tiger Point. Northbound on Garcon Point Bridge and Avalon are flowing smoothly. Same with southbound and I-10, I-110 checking in clear. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
So obviously, you know, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty sell a lot of homes, like 130 homes they sold last year, which is pretty amazing for her third year doing real estate. But, you know, it's gotten even better. Like, it's just a hot market right now, but you still have to know how to take advantage of it, right? You still have to know how to do it, and they really have this down to a science. So originally, like for the last couple of years, and I've been talking about her, you know, the offer was basically, you and I agree about a price, and if your home qualifies, because not all homes do, but if your home qualifies and we agree on a price, I'll sell it within a month, guaranteed, okay? Now, 2 weeks. She says, look, I will sell that home within 14 days if we agree about a price and if it qualifies. Okay, two caveats, right? But if it does and if we do, then I'll sell it within 2 weeks or I'll pay you $5,000. Now, what she tells me is, Andrew, I never have to pay because we sell them in like a day, 2 days, same day, 7 days. I mean, 7 days like at the outside. We can get them. But here's the point. You might be wondering, what could I get for my home right now? What could we do if we wanted to move? What, you know, so call her and find out. Find out if your home qualifies, find out what the price might be, and then maybe you decide to go ahead and sell it. 723-9158, 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
apart from the idea that the antitrust laws should not be a cover for exploitation of the student athletes. So that is a concern, of overarching concern here.
You know, when Justice Kavanaugh begins his line of comments by saying, I'm concerned that you're exploiting the student athletes, that's not a good sign. And he was, you know, second to last in a long line of people asking the NCAA hard questions about their protection of the amateur athletics market by refusing and prohibiting student athletes from being able to be compensated properly.
I mean, it does seem, as Justice Kagan and Justice Gorsuch suggested, Justice Alito, the schools are conspiring with competitors, agreeing with competitors, I'll say that, to pay no salaries to the workers who are making the schools billions of dollars on the theory that consumers want the schools to pay their workers nothing. And that just seems entirely circular and even somewhat disturbing.
Yeah, and then, I mean, questions were raised by Justice Thomas about the issue of the paid coaches that are making millions of dollars. Actually, some of the highest paid employees in the nation are athletics coaches at football programs for big schools.
Well, it just strikes me as odd that the coaches' salaries have ballooned, and they're in the amateur ranks, as are the players. But be that as it may.
Yeah, I mean, this is, and look, there's a lot of discussion about what can be done. Is it fixable? Can you fix it without ruining it? You know, there. I mean, it's not an easy thing to figure out what to do with the NCAA and with student athletics, because it's true that it is a unique thing. And there's a lot of people that hate pro sports because they view them as paid mercenaries, when they love college sports because they view it more as a loyalty thing. And, that's my identity, my team, right? The way people go out here locally for football teams is completely different than the way they support the pro football teams. What I thought was funny about this, there's always human moments, okay? I love the human moments. They're always kind of entertaining. Justice Thomas, okay, Clarence Thomas, he is not the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. You have to know that. John Roberts is, and that led to kind of a humorous moment in the middle of all this.
Did we conduct a deferential quick look review?
Well, Mr. Chief Justice, the amateurism rules, that
thanks
the eligibility.
Promotion, by the way.
He says, thanks for the promotion, by the way, which makes him laugh.
Sorry, but I'm sure you would be terrific at that, Justice Thomas. Let me just say.
There's no opening, Mr. Waxman.
There's nothing more I can say that will not get me into trouble.
John Roberts, Chief Justice, there's no opening, Mr. Wax. Like, that's my job. Stop it. Anyway, so, yeah, they were, the NCAA lawyer got lit up. Every single one of the justices was like, man, you guys are, this is not right. This is not good. The only thing that's going to keep them from totally dismantling the NCAA is the worry that judges shouldn't be interfering in things like this, and that maybe they do wind up ruining things that can't be rescued after the fact. But they want to do something with the NCAA.
Really, I think the fastest way I can put this is it's difficult to pay college athletes, because I believe there's a whole lot more value in a football player at a premier school like Alabama compared to the golf team, for example.
Absolutely.
The football team brings in more revenue, so would you pay the football players more than the golfers or the gymnast? I don't think you can do that for Title IX purposes, because then you have to add that in. Then also pay gap and gender equity. Now, should an athlete be able to profit off their own likeness? Can a gymnast who has a million followers on Instagram be able to promote a company?
Right.
Could a football player sign a deal with Nike? I think they should be able to. I think they should be able to make money on their own.
There's going to be a lot of nuance, whatever the result is. I do expect the NCAA is going to, or the Supreme Court is going to do something to dismantle the NCAA's current regime. But you never know. That's why you got to wait for the opinion to come out. I'm kind of in the zone already, Davis, but go ahead. Time for a quick shot of sports.
Well, congratulations to Baylor in an upset fashion, taking down previously undefeated Gonzaga in the men's NCAA basketball national championship, their first ever title. And with that, going into next season, Gonzaga is named the favorite to win next year, according to Las Vegas. Also, the MLB All-Star Game. If you're a Braves fan and you were planning on going to the All-Star Game this year, well, I hope you know by now that Major League Baseball did pull its game from Atlanta, and it's been reported that it'll be moving to Denver. So that'll be the second time that it'll be played at Coors Field. The last time they did it was a, I think it was actually the year 1998 was the last time they did it. That game actually ended 13-7, and it's a park that's very home run friendly. I imagine the home run derby is going to be very fun to watch. David Sound with the Quick Shot of Sports.
By the way, small side note on this. Somebody had texted earlier and said, so who does this decision really hurt and who does it benefit? If you look at the demographics, you know, where does the income flow? Who's got jobs working at the stadium or any other way for all the collateral money that comes in from the All-Star game? Atlanta, 51% black, 41% white. Denver, 9% black, 76% white. Kind of an interesting observation apart from the issue of electoral stuff. Back to you, Davis, for traffic on the fives.
So we have an accident at the intersection of Davis and Airport, and this is causing delays in every direction. In fact, southbound and northbound both showing significant delays. Eastbound traffic backed up around Pensacola Christian College. So it seems to be significant, and it's definitely looking like it's more than one vehicle involved. So use caution in that area. Garcon and Avalon both flowing smoothly, but Gulf Breeze Parkway still showing westbound delays around the now Sherwin-Williams paint stores, so those delays are continuing to get long. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Future news. Davis and I tell you what's going to happen before it happens. The diverging diamond interchanges. FDOT is proposing as part of the I-10 widening to put one in at 9 Mile and at Pine Forest. Hey, let's never finish any roads. Are they actually going to put both of those in?
I unfortunately think yes.
Probably. I mean, they're fine projects. It's just, man, you could have done it before. Will CBS carry the Masters?
They since better. Millions of dollars
but
in advertising.
Georgia.
Yes.
But it's Georgia. How can they? Will I be mayor after the after Grover Robinson's prophetic dream about me?
I don't think so.
No, the answer is no. We'll be back tomorrow.